This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies, is this mic on?
It is on.
Mic check, 1, 2. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show, where the video feed is working today. So that means two things. Number one, the hat is backwards. Number two, I need feedback on the beard. For those that can see me, I'm going to get my haircut later today. This is no secret. This is worldwide breaking news yesterday during the noon hour here on the Adam Carriker Show. I'm going to go get my haircut. But that's not the news. The decision that needs to be made, and I need fan feedback. Do I keep the beard or not? Yesterday was over. By the way, my wife texted me during the show. I had my phone on silent, so I didn't see it. She goes, I texted you. Why didn't you read it on air? Because I had my phone on silent while I was on air. But she is in full support of the beard.
Yes.
She's not like... Like it's definitely more yes than no, but it's not like a full 99% in. You know what I mean? It's like,
okay, yeah.
It's kind of see how it goes. You know, 3-1, 75% in, you know, just kind of see how it goes. But now that people can see my face, which I have a face for radio, I've heard this before. It's okay. Do I keep the beard or not? Text into the text line. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
These are the life decisions that do not keep me up at night, but when I am awake, I tend to think about them once in a while because sometimes I care how I look. Let us know. Are you still in full support of the beard? A decision must be made this evening. Let's see. I'll drop Dakota off of baseball. About 5:30, I'm going to get there. By 5:30, I've got to make a decision on whether I keep it or not.
I think it looks glorious today, by the way. I think it looks better. It must have grown overnight.
You know, one thing I don't like about it, there's these little silver streaks. What the heck is that? What is that doing in there?
That happens to me already.
That's not supposed to be there. All right, let us know. Beard, yay, nay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about. We got college football playoff games to react to. You know, it was like, top 10 headlines yesterday was number 11 because that's how the college football offseason schedule works. Miami and Ole Miss. What a game it was. Dude, that was such – I had a bit of a slow start. I'm not going to lie to you. I honestly felt like Miami was considerably the better team for a lot of the game, but kudos to Ole Miss. They don't even have most of their offensive coaches. Did you know that Lane tweeted after the game, congrats, best season in school history with a broken heart thing?
That's probably a good move, actually. You think?
I didn't look at the comments because I was in a good mood. So I'm gonna guess he got eviscerated. I'm just gonna take a guess. It doesn't matter what he does right now. Ole Miss fans are going to eviscerate him. Yeah, greatest season in Ole Miss football history. He's the man who helped in large part build it. But then you leave basically saying, I don't really think we have a chance to win it all this year. I'm gonna go somewhere else and start all the way over because I have a better chance to win there. Then you got coaches pulling double duty. And then after you have a chance to play for the national championship, that's where last night was. Ole Miss's chance to play for a national championship. Lane all of a sudden says, you can't have most of your offensive coaches. They got to stay here in Baton Rouge. Let me ask you a serious question, Jake. Do you think it's because he needed them full-time in LSU, which he does? Do you think there was a little bit of a, No. You're not going to go play for the national title without me. They're factored into that decision as well.
That's probably a tiny amount. Yeah. Lane's a good guy. You know, might be a sliver of that. Yeah.
You know Lane? You know him personally?
He's just born in Lincoln, so I always stick up for him.
The benefit of the doubt. I'm not going to lie, dude. I was so torn last night. Do I root for Miami or the SEC? Like, this situation sucks right now. I have to root for Miami or SEC. Part of me almost went Ole Miss because of the... I just wanted to see him do it. And, you know, without Lane, this isn't an anti-Lane show. I'm not a crazy fan of how things have played out. But honestly, is it really Lane's fault or is it the way the college football calendar is? Like, I don't know. What if, like the NFL, playoffs end, Super Bowl weekend, that first Sunday in February, then you have a month before your free agency happens and you really start hiring and firing. Now you can fire coaches now, but you really start making those major coaching changes. Like, you can't hire a new coach in the NFL until the season's over. What if that was the system? Would Lane still be the bad guy? No, because he'd still be at Ole Miss, and then he could go to LSU at the appropriate time, and then he could prepare for the draft at the end of April. He could prepare for free agency in March. He'd have a whole month. So is Lane the bad guy here, or is the system the bad guy? Quick thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, what is it, 1/4 a year, you know, when you consider Tulane and James Madison as well. So what 1/4 your playoff system, your system, your team had different jobs. You know, your coaches were hired to different jobs before the college football playoffs started. Now, those guys stuck around and helped coach, so you can might view them a little bit differently than Lane did. But if I'm LSU, I don't want Lane to stick around and see how long he can get it done. So this is it's the college football calendar's fault. And college football's got a mess of every situation that you look, you know, almost everything's is not orderly and correct, but at least they play the games on the field. We have fun with them, but no, you know, I don't blame Lane Kiffin a whole lot for it, though. It still was intriguing to me, and I get it. LSU. I mean, that's kind of the destination or one of the destination spots in college football. So I get moving toward that and trying to provide, you know, go after the championships in the future. But this was Lane's best. That's why I was a little bit surprised that he did it, is that this is Lane's best chance to win a national championship. We saw that play out with him. Would it have been any better? Might have been. But when you coach for that long and all the ups and downs that he's had, and, you know, of course, has been there for, you know, championship runs with Alabama, at least to the championship game, you know, all that factored in, it had to be hard for himself to even for his own ego, right? If that's what you're kind of thinking about, is to step out and say, even though I have a chance at a championship this year, my best chance, I'm going to move along to LSU. It's that's a college football problem.
I never thought the Bad News Bach would turn into a Lane Kiffin apologist. I just never thought we'd do. If we had a show in Oxford, Mississippi right now, you'd be calling your family. You'd be like, I need a full-time police safety circuit around my house, protecting my family. Do you have any idea, based on where you're geographically located, how things could be responded to? I want to clip that and send it just down to Mississippi and just see the response that people would get.
Hey, in Baton Rouge, they'd like me a little more. So that's good.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, LSU fans, why are you not defending your coach? He's out there getting eviscerated right now, and they just say nothing. They just say nothing. This man's coming here trying to win you a natty. It's not like I genuinely care, though. I'm just throwing it out there. But as far as LSU fans having Lane's back or not, I'm not that vested in it. It is one of the top five coaching jobs in the country. I think most people would agree with that, the LSU job. So, all right, we got some Husker news. Is there Justice Haynes, Michigan running back in the portal?
Yeah.
I can only assume... We have not offered a running back. Have we offered any running backs in the portal? Had any running back visitors that you're aware of, Jake?
Not that I'm aware of.
None. Not one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not that we're aware of. Now, maybe they've had 25 in and nobody knows about it. That'd be amazing, by the way. I can only assume we haven't offered a running back or had a portal running back visit because we are waiting to bring in Jamar Brown and Justice Haynes. Is that the plan? Is that what's going to happen here?
Potentially, or maybe they just feel like they've got the answer on campus.
Do you think that's the case? They already have the answer on campus. They gave, like, none of those guys any reps all year long. Yet Emmett Johnson, that's part of it. You know, the same guy that couldn't get on the field a year ago. But maybe the next Emmett Johnson is right there and they feel they've got him. Really? You think that's the route they're taking? Really?
I don't know. I mean, because that's what we had the question all last year, too. It's like, are they going to bring somebody in? And then they kind of went about it and said, yeah, we believe in these guys. And then, you know... I think Rule said that, and then maybe a week later, Holgerson said, "Yeah, they got a long way to go," or something like that. Then we saw the season play out. They didn't get an opportunity. I mean, each of them got an opportunity, but it was, you know, one or three per game, and they were moving around there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't feel all that confident with if that's their group heading into next season. Although you still want to see their offer. I mean, Mekhi Nelson at least flashed there at the end to give you a little bit of hope.
All right, we'll see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show. We're going to give some Husker updates. Got Nebraska basketball, the big game tomorrow versus Indiana. All right, college football playoff. We got another playoff game tonight in Indiana football, playing Oregon in a rematch from a game earlier this year. We have NFL playoffs starting this weekend. Am I not correct there, Jake?
That is correct.
Remember, Saturday night, that's when the college football national championship should be happening. The Saturday night of Wild Card Weekend. You heard it here. By the way, Army-Navy can't be at the end of the year anymore. You know what I would do with that game? I actually dropped this last year. Do you remember what I said?
I believe so.
Week zero. Yeah. Open the season with it.
I'd love it. Yeah,
I like open it. Now, you're not going to get the snow games, which I do kind of look forward to in Army-Navy sometimes, or at least freezing cold weather. But, I mean, if we're just going to blow everything up, let's just blow everything up in college football. But let's put Army-Navy at the beginning of the year. Let's kick off the season. What could be more patriotic? Bring the country together before we all get pissed at each other every rivalry game that happens the rest of the year. And we got the horns down and the U down and all that good stuff. Brits Will Umanyila did the U down yesterday. Yeah. He's not here anymore, but I liked him for about 10 seconds last night. Plus, I'm not going to lie, dude, it hurt my feelings to watch him. You made a great point. He didn't set the edge very well. Okay, four Ole Miss last night. But, man, he was in Miami's backfield a lot. And every time he was back there, that just hurt my feelings. The former Nebraska DN who transferred is...
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
See, how'd you feel watching that?
Yeah, I mean, that along with Kwon Lacy, of course, as we've known throughout the year, you know, at one time was committed or close to it to Nebraska. So, you know, I was telling Austin, I didn't necessarily go into the game like I was going to cheer for one team or the other. I think Prince Will and Kwon Lacy, those ties kind of brought me into Ole Miss. The other thing is I tried to cheer for Miami for like a play or two, and I realized I can't do it. I just don't want to see this team have success again. So at least Miami hatred is, I figured out it's still there deep within me.
I picked Miami to win. Who'd you pick?
I pick Ole Miss, I think.
So I'm up by double digits now? Is that what I just heard?
I'm up by double digits
on the pick'em in the year?
I lost that one, yeah.
I was torn between Miami. Like, literally, the first quarter and a half, I'm like, Miami's dominating this game. But I think it was 3-0 at that point. They had four drives of 18 plays or more. Over 8 minutes, four times. First time in college football playoff history. Yet at the time that I realized that, or the stat was put up on the screen, whatever it was, they were up by like 3 points. That was it. Ole Miss looked not great in the beginning. Trinidad Chambliss was struggling. Frankly, Miami had three dropped interceptions. All could have iced the game. Ole Miss's kicker, holy Moses Malone, that dude can boot a ball. He missed a 52-yarder, so he makes, what, two or three 50-plus yarders. Made a 56-yarder in the Sugar Bowl. A couple of 50-plus yarders in the Sugar Bowl versus Georgia. He misses the 52, and I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Oh, wait, it was over 50 yards. Like, oh, my bad. Like, the expectations for him are so through the roof right now. What a weapon. One of the differences was Ole Miss started really slow. Miami had several chances to put the game away. Three dropped interceptions. At least one of them would have been a pick six. And then Ole Miss, they just got to get near the 50-yard line. Like, I swear, just get near midfield, bam, 3 points. It's like automatic. Like, somebody sent me this stat, or I saw this stat where Miami was like, touchdown, 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 field goal. And then it was Ole Miss, field goal, touchdown. I was like, well, that's because Ole Miss, if they get within 75 yards, they can make a field goal. Most teams would have been punting. So that's not a bad thing. When you got a weapon like that, that was crazy. I was torn between who I was rooting for. I really was. Miami or the SEC. And I started to lean almost Ole Miss because the whole Lane Kiffin thing. I'm just so sick and tired of the SEC. We're going to play. Did you get that clip ready?
Yeah.
A fine bomb?
Yep.
I sent it to you. Like, Greg Sankey at one point advocated for eight teams in this year's playoff. Like, no joke. I saw it this morning, and I screenshotted it. Like, it's a quote of him saying, basically, Vanderbilt, he lists all the teams. Eight teams should have been in. You know the SEC beat zero Power Four teams in the actual playoff games other than themselves. They beat themselves twice. They beat Tulane. There were 0-3 versus other Power Four conference teams. You have to double check it. I looked at it this morning.
Yeah. No, there's just plenty of anti-SEC stats right now.
1-8 in bowl games versus Power Four teams. That's 1-11 total this postseason. That's less than 10% winning percentage. Dude, I like Josh Pate. You know that. I can't stand the fact that he number one, is so SEC biased, and number two, won't just own it. Like, just own it. He denies it, and then he comes out and does a show with Cole Kublick. I think that's his name. And immediately the first thing it's about is the SEC in trouble. The thumbnail's like, is the SEC in trouble? First thing out of his mouth, I don't care about bowl games. What? You don't care about things that happen on the field. And he goes on this whole diatribe. And I'm just like, what? And then, okay, I could go on and on forever about the SEC. They have this insanely tough regular season schedule where almost none of them schedule anybody out of conference except for Texas. Texas will. And then they don't even play 9 conference games. They get 2 bye weeks, and then they get a third bye week late in November when they schedule yet another cupcake from the bakery that they choose to choose their opponents from every year come November, right before their rivalry games. Like, what? Like, either they're going to play 9 conference games and 1 Power 4 conference opponent in the future. They've mandated that going forward. But up until now, no. You've either got to dominate the postseason, which you have not. Do you realize last year they were under 500 versus Power 4 teams in postseason games? Under 500. They were 8-7 overall. So barely over 500. So what a drastic improvement that is. Under 10% to just over 50% winning percentage. But if you take, they lost to Navy, by the way. Oklahoma lost to Navy, if you remember that.
I do.
Every major bowl game last year, okay, Michigan with players sitting out and hurt, curb stomped Alabama. Illinois upset South Carolina. Both those teams wanted to be in the playoff, by the way, but couldn't win their bowl game. You've got Texas A&M favored over USC. USC upsets them. Ole Miss was the only team that looked really good last year. I think they won the Duke's Mayo's Bowl. I could have the wrong bowl game, but it was over Duke. But I think it was in the Duke's Mayo's Bowl. Mayonnaise all over the place or whatever it was. They were the only team that looked good. And then if you actually factor just Power 4 opponents that they played, they were under 500. So either you've got to play better actual schedules. Instead of claiming a beating yourself up, you've got to actually play 9 conference games and tougher non-conference opponents outside of Texas. That's the one thing I'll give Texas credit for. They played like 5 teams in the top 10 this year. Beat 3 of them. Did I just say nice things about Texas in order to attack the SEC? Wow.
No, don't go too far. The Texas teams that they did play this year were all that they played. Like you said, the 5 top 10 teams, I believe it was. Texas opponents were 0-7 in the postseason.
Texas sucks again. I knew it. I knew I tried to be nice. And Box says, nope, can't be nice to gag me you. There, their nickname is back as well. But my point is you've actually got to schedule people instead of claiming we beat each other up, or you've got to actually win postseason games instead of saying, postseason doesn't matter because we said so. Just trust us. Put 8 of our teams in the playoff. This is why when everyone was talking about the 16-team playoff last year, the 5+11 model. I said, you're going to have 1,000 SEC teams in there because you're leaving it up to people's opinions. When you leave it up to people's opinions, people are going to err towards the poll. They're going to err towards what they see on ESPN. They're going to ESPN SEC Network. They're going to err towards what they're told, which is the SEC is the greatest thing since sliced bread. They have more hypothetical national championships in the past 3 years, yet 3 years in a row, they don't have a team in the national championship, winning a national championship. Don't even have a team in the game this year. National championship game this year. They have more hypothetical wins and dominance the past 3 years than you could possibly imagine, yet on the field, it has not actually happened. I said it before and I'll say it again. I have a lot of respect actually for SEC as a conference. I have zero for the holier than thou. We are greater than you. You're beneath us. We're the NFL of college football attitude that they have. Those are harsh words, but are those unfair based on things you've heard them say?
Well, I mean, it just means more. I mean, right? It just means more.
No, Greg Sankey, there should be 8 SEC teams in.
Yeah.
You're going to play a clip of Paul Feinbaum. I'll leave the country if an SEC team doesn't win the national championship this year. Lane Kiffin, about a year ago, said 2 things that I'll never forget. Number one, I don't want to play in our conference championship game. You remember talking about that? And I'm like, I think he's right.
Yeah.
Number two, he talked about how I've been to USC and I've been to this place and that place and nothing compares to the SEC. It's not even close. And then he said it. It's like the NFL of college football. That is what I can't stand. Just a little bit of self-awareness, a little bit of humility would go a long ways towards earning respect. Instead of middle fingers up in the air like Stone Cold, when he did it, it was a lot cooler. Okay, middle fingers and beers up in people's faces, and we're better than everyone, except, wait, every time I turn around, we get pinned 1, 2, 3 in the middle of the ring. But no, that doesn't matter. The results don't matter. The words coming out of my mouth and the opinion in my head, that's what matters. The hypothetical wins, that's what matters. I did not intend on to go on this long of an SEC rant. My point is simply this. I was so torn between Ole Miss and Miami. I finally went with Miami because I'm so over the SEC crap. Like, just show some self-awareness and humility. A little bit. Ryan Clark said, we're not the top dog anymore. I said this last week. And then Cam Newton, he wanted to talk about TV ratings and why that still made them the top dog. Okay, let's just keep moving the goalposts. Not even forward or backward. Let's just move them out of the stadium and say that's where the new goal is. Like, what are you talking about? Big Ten teams make more money because they get viewed in large part more often across the country. Just so you know, each Big Ten football team actually gets paid more money despite having more teams in the conference because the TV deals are actually more. And it's mostly because we're a national conference and the SEC is like coast to coast. The SEC is more regional, in fairness to them. I'm trying to be fair. I even tried to be nice to Texas today. I've never done that before.
Well, and this whole idea didn't come from nothing. They were in, I think the stat was, so they were in the championship 16 out of the last 17 years. The last 3 years now, including this one, it will be zero. But so it's kind of interesting because the SEC, I had to defend the SEC for years here at the station because I had all the ammunition. Like, there's so many, you know, so much stats to support. The SEC is the dominant team, you know, conference in college football. But now that it's changing and it's there, right? I mean, again, there's so many stats that can show it. ACC was 8-6 against the SEC this season. Then, you know, Power Five in general was 15-15 against, including Notre Dame, 15-15 against the SEC. So, I mean, but part of this is just the humbling and the understanding that this isn't 10 years ago, you know, or, you know, that dominating run, that stretch that they had, which was incredible, but it's over.
So, I mean, you make a good point. Here's the deal. For years, we were told the definition of the best conference is who wins the national championship because the SEC was winning them. I often said the SEC was top heavy, mostly because of Alabama, Georgia, Kirby, and then Nick Saban for years. I was like, you get to the middle of that conference and lower, they're actually not that good in my opinion. Well, now that the Big Ten seems to be the team with the best teams on top, all of a sudden, all we hear from the SEC people is, well, but we have more conference depth. And now all of a sudden, that's what's supposed to matter. But how do you have more conference depth when you win less than 10% of your postseason games versus other Power Four conference teams? This is factoring in the Big 12, which the past 2 years in a row has had zero top 25 recruiting classes. This is factoring in the ACC, which I don't think will even exist in a few years. That's a top-heavy conference. But top to bottom, would you say they're 8-6? They have a winning record versus the freaking SEC. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me with this? And even the top dogs in the ACC. Clemson's not good right now. Florida State's not good right now. It's really Miami. Duke won the ACC because of some ridiculously ridiculous tiebreakers that allowed them to get in, and then they upset Virginia. Like, it's really Miami, and that's it. When the next best team in the conference has three losses, the ACC is not strong, not in football. By the way, isn't it crazy that a team that didn't win the ACC championship and a team that didn't win the SEC championship were playing for the right to go play for the national championship last night?
A little bit crazy. I mean, those conference championship games are, like you said, Lane Kiffin said, I mean, it is, look on the other side. I mean, if Indiana loses, you could again have two teams that didn't win their conference championships playing for the national championship. What a mess.
So I did end up rooting for Miami last night just because I'm so over the SEC crap. And then, you know what I found out at the end of the game, which I did not know? You know where the national championship game is?
Mm-hmm.
In Miami. Yep. Hard Rock Stadium. All over again. I was pissed. It was like it was in the 1990s all over again. They get to host a big-time postseason game, the national championship game. It was always the Orange Bowl. We always had to go play Florida State. Miami in Florida on Miami's home field. I immediately was pissed, and I was immediately mad at myself because I was like, I should have been rooting for Ole Miss this whole time. I did not know that's where the national championship game was. I hold myself responsible for rooting for the wrong team, even though I got the pick right. See how I pointed the finger at myself, but yet I still propped myself up all at the same time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to break, all right, just a reminder, the Character Chronicles football camp year two will be back. 93.7 The Ticket will be on site. The camp is here in Lincoln, LYF football fields, Lincoln Youth football fields, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. All right. Again, the ticket will be on site. Jake, DP, Aaron Davis. I actually reached out to Mr. Jay Foreman to see if he could do it as well. Hopefully we can get him on the mic as well during the camp. So it's for K through 8th graders, boys and girls alike. You can go to CharacterChronicles.com to learn more. Coach Osborne will be our guest speaker. We will have Heisman Trophy winner Eric Crouch. I will be there. Brendan Stye will be there as well. And 93.7 The Ticket's own Terrell Farley, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer, national champion, Big 8 defensive newcomer of the year, first team all-conference, led Nebraska in 1995 in tackles. Is Terrell out there listening to me? He's not that great. If he's not listening, he's one of the best to ever do it. We got to keep guys around here humble. But if you're interested, again, you can learn more about the camp at CharacterChronicles.com. All right, 260-plus kids last year. People have already hit me up. They're pretty excited this year. When we come back, some Husker sports updates. Oh, final thoughts on the game last night. I know we're over, but Miami pulls out. Man, what an epic game. What an epic win. Trinidad Chambliss started to show what he could do as the game went along. Carson Beck, he's trying to win his third national championship. His first two were as backups at Georgia. He gets the game-winning touchdown run. This was an epic back-and-forth game come the last two quarters, or really that fourth quarter was very, very exciting. Final thoughts, and then we'll head to break, Jake.
Well, I just want to say shame on you for cheering for Miami. They, after all, have...
So, SEC? I mean...
Well, they have... We go to that blue blood discussion again, and I don't... They're the new blood, right? It's tough to say anything other than that for Miami, but they have five national titles. Nebraska, of course, has five national titles.
Well, I'm rooting for Indiana or Oregon.
Well, I'm just saying, we're playing with fire here.
How jacked up is it that they're going to have to go? Like, Miami's the 10th seed, and they're going to have home field in the national championship game.
They're going to have to be in the visitor locker room.
By the way, they need to reseed the playoff. It should have been Indiana-Miami, 1 versus 10, and then it should have been Oregon, 5 versus 6. Like, they need to reseed like instead NFL of doing these brackets. Yeah. It makes more sense. The two higher-seeded teams, one of them is going to be knocked out tonight because of the way the bracket is, versus the two lower-seeded teams who played last night in an epic game. We'll play Paul Feinbaum, and then we'll move on from SEC bashing for about 5 minutes. When we come back from this break, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.